Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great new inventory, best in pre-owned inventory. Trade-ins never been worth more. Sales staff, they'll do everything they can to save you money. Service department that's outstanding. Whether it's routine, inspections, diagnostics, whatever it may be. It's all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Sometimes the greatest moments in sports don't happen during the game. Our play-by-play call of the day is just that.
Well, graduating student manager Jack Devlin is all smiles right now on the Iowa sideline. Why? Because this just happened. Everything has fallen tonight. Look at the response from the team. This is unbelievable. He hits the half-court shot. The team goes nuts. I mean, they love Jack Devlin on this team.
That's the way a team is. Right? You know, everybody on the team, right? There is a camaraderie, a closeness, a love even. So Jack Devlin, they love him. Right? You know, I look at the managers for basketball. I mean, I look at all of them. Yeah. You know? And of course, Patrick Northrup Moore has been around the longest. Patrick, in fact, just had his birthday on Sunday, as a matter of fact. And there's a camaraderie on teams. It is not, I'm a scholarship player, you're a walk-on, you're a manager. Everybody kind of, I mean, there's a closeness. And I'll give you an example. The managers for Penn State will play against the opposing team's managers the night before a game. Right? And all of our players want to know, hey, you know, hey, what did Vince do? What did, you know? Or at times, believe it or not, they're actually, you can go online and watch the game. And I'm trying to remember where we were. I think it was Indiana. We're in Indiana. Micah and I are watching the game on Micah's phone. Because guess what? It's all part of, on an everyday basis, these are the people that are around the team. So that's why that's such a cool moment. They said, hey, just look at the way they reacted. They reacted that way because they love him. They were around him every single day. It's part of what makes a team special because it's more than just like what you see on the court or the field all the time or the ice or the mat. All right. I don't know what's going to happen about baseball. All right. Matt, the baseball thing is a great opportunity for Matt because there's so much to hate here. And really, you... Now, what has happened is this. Baseball claims, the owners, that they have just given their last best offer. I expect that there'll be a press conference around 6 o'clock this evening in which they will talk about the breakdown between the two sides. Now, the last best offer, which was delivered about a half an hour ago, featuring an increase from $25 million to $30 million in pre-arbitration bonus pool money. That's a victory for the union, by the way. All right? And they offered on the luxury tax $220. Stays flat for 3 years before going up to $224 in year four, $230 in year five. The union wants to start at $238, then go $244, $250, $256, $263. Okay. The league also wants to increase the minimum from $675 to $700. They bump it up $10,000 each year. I don't think they're going to be able to make it. And it sounds like this is a take-it-or-leave-it offer by the owners. Now, it doesn't mean a take-it-or-leave-it offer in terms of they can't, like, move some parts around, but that's their last proposal. I don't think they're going to make it. And if they don't make it, they probably won't talk for 2.5 weeks. Now, was it you that said to me that, like, you thought Eric Bieniemy might be fired? I mean, I know you're hoping it because you like when people are fired.
Eric Bieniemy? No, I love Eric Bieniemy.
Okay. Now, somebody else said that to me, and I said, because he, you know, his contract was up. And somebody said to me, he said, oh, his contract's up, they're going to get rid of him. I said, no, it just means his contract's up. And, of course, they re-upped him. They asked Andy Reid today at the Combine about Bieniemy. He says, I'm really surprised he's still with us. He's a heck of a football coach.
I agree with him. I think it's absurd he doesn't have a head coaching job yet.
Again, this is going to, the excuse is going to be a rather up and down past before he got to Kansas City. Okay. Off the field. That's what is going to be the excuse. I'm not saying I'd be sitting there and I'd be looking at it saying, really, the last 10 years, how's he been? Great. No, it's fine. We're done. You know? But yeah, he made that statement today. Again, I keep going back. I mean, have we ever talked about the WNBA?
I think the opening segment was the first time since I've taken over this show that we've talked about the WNBA.
I mean, the Liberty fined $500,000 for using charter flights. Do you know what kind of small-time operation you look like when you do that? I'll be honest with you. As somebody who does this for a living, and I'm on charter flights all the time, I mean, I'm on charter flights all the time, unless there's a circumstance that comes up. For example, the team played at Maryland, so I drove. They bussed, I drove. I didn't feel like riding the bus. When they go to Rutgers, I'm going to drive. Again, just for me, it's a personal choice that I'm just more comfortable driving. Right? But other than that, I mean, I'm going to Illinois tomorrow. We're on a charter flight. Lady Lions play in Indianapolis in the Big Ten tournament tomorrow. They took a charter flight. Right? This is a major professional league. I just assumed they took charter flights, which was wrong on my part. So during the pandemic, they made them go through terminals to play games? Really? During the 2021 WNBA Finals, the league announced it would pay for charter flights for the Chicago Sky and Phoenix Mercury. And I think Kelly won two championships with the Phoenix Mercury, if I recall. Kelly Mazzani. And they traveled from between Phoenix and Chicago between games 2 and 3. They say they made the exceptions during the playoffs, but the league has occasionally been willing to pick up the bill in certain circumstances. Owners are not allowed to do the same for their teams during the season. It's, you know, it's a collective bargaining deal because of competitive balance. Well, some owners are willing to pay for them, some aren't. But guess what? To me, that's the choice of ownership. If you want to be a Bush leaguer, you don't do it. I mean, seriously, you want to be a Bush leaguer, don't do it. This is a professional league selling professional tickets for professional games. Okay? Charter some flights. I mean, they were going to... I mean, they talked about taking away their draft picks. They talked about taking away... invoking the termination clause for the franchise. I mean, over a charter flight? Over treating your employees well? It should be the other way around. I mean, if they force them like Major League to get on a bus and bus from New York to Chicago on a bus, now you should be fined $1 million. A charter flight? Nah. Bus trip like the movie Major League? Where the bus backfires on I-80, right? Bad. Okay? That's where you get fined $1 million for putting them on a bus and making the bus from New York to Chicago. You don't fine them $1 million for chartering a flight where the players are comfortable and happy and the coaching staff is comfortable and happy. And the other people in the party, including your publicity person, is comfortable and happy and, oh, by the way, ready to do their job the next day because they're off their legs in comfort. Now, they did fine them $500,000. Okay. And I have no problem. I could care less about the fine. It doesn't matter. All the fine money goes to charity, so I could care less about that. In all, the Liberty paid for charter flights for 5 road games in the second half of the season, as well as a trip to Napa Valley over Labor Day weekend for a team bonding experience, a benefit that also violated the collective bargaining agreement. Now, I should point out the team did lose all 5 of the road games that they chartered to. But for goodness sakes, imagine treating your organization like a first-class organization and being fined for it. Really? Really? I know it's a bargain position. I got that. But I'm sorry. Treating people well, treating them like they're important, is so critical to the experience. It's critical. When you're treated well, it means everything. I mean, I know there's a disparity in ownership groups, but you know what? There always has been in every sport. And to be honest with you, fans of the Pittsburgh Pirates are just frustrated beyond words that you just feel like the ownership just doesn't try, right? Not on amenities such as these, but you feel like they're not trying. Now, the WNBA did announce last month a $75 million capital raise from investors to help address some of these problems. Really important that the players know that this investment's in them, even though it's in the league and not a specific team or specific player, said the commissioner. It's to help grow our revenue streams and produce sustainable long-term growth. Look, if you're not going to act like you're a professional big-time operation, then you're not a top-flight professional operation. I mean, and this brings that out. This brings that out. Look, I realize Bucknell is in a different place than Penn State, so Bucknell is busing all over the place. I mean, it is a rarity. I mean, I remember when Kevin was telling me how he got to fly down to Charleston. Was it Charleston? They're going to play Charleston Southern. That sound right? You know, and what a thrill it was for them to do that. I'm sure when they went to the NCAA tournament, what a thrill it was for them to get on a chartered plane to go play Kansas, to get on a chartered plane, because the NCAA sets it up. What a thrill it had to be. And these are elements, I will tell you firsthand, so you understand. I've obviously been doing this 40 years in football, 30 years, excuse me, 40 years in basketball, 30 years in football. So I've been on charter flights over and over and over again. Not once, not one time, I can tell you, have I ever taken the experience for granted. I always knew it was special to do that. Always. So last season when I had to go commercially or I had to drive, right, it was different for me. You know, I had to go commercially, stay the extra night, had to stay an extra night in Nebraska, extra night in Indiana because we had to do it commercially. And then, you know, I drove to Rutgers, you know, for football. I drove down to Virginia Tech for basketball. You're like, yeah, okay. So, I mean, believe me. But when I got back on charters this year, do you think I sat back and went, oh, you know what? I really appreciate the experience now. No. Okay? I appreciated it every single trip I made before the pandemic and have the same appreciation now afterward. It wasn't what I didn't need a pandemic to sit there and go, you know, I really appreciate this now. I mean, you got to be off in your own world if you don't appreciate stuff like that. I mean, really. I mean, game's over, and 2 hours later, you're sitting back at your own airport? Man alive. I've always appreciated it. Always. There was never like, oh, gee, you know, I really miss that. I'll appreciate it more next time. Don't think so. It's not how it works. At least for me, it's not how it works. I've always appreciated it. That's why I see stuff like this. I'm thinking, you know, I feel badly for these players that they're stuck doing that. I mean, my goodness. I mean, that's how they traveled in the NBA in the 1980s. Oh, here's another bothersome fact. Whenever you hear the expression 30 years ago, 30 years ago, do you realize 30 years ago was 1992? Oh, that hurts. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
All right. If you're wondering why he played that, that's the Suits mantra. It's now used to, whenever he's introduced and they roll out the red carpet, we just play that because we just feel it just brings everything into focus. College football is thinking about some rule changes. They've got to shorten the game. I mean, in terms of the length of the game, not, you know, shorten the game. But you have to take a look, and here's one thing I think they need to take a long, hard look at. And that's incomplete passes. So how would I handle incomplete passes? I'd give the ball back to the suit and tell him to throw it again. All right, but I mean, how would you handle incomplete passes? Right? Very simply. You throw an incomplete pass, the clock stops. When the ball is then set by the center judge, boom. Second the ball hits the ground, start the clock again. In other words, it's incomplete, boom. Now they get the new ball in play, or take the one they just boom, bang, bang, bang. Official sets it at the spot on the field where they're going to snap it from. Clock starts. I also would eliminate stopping the clock on first downs. No need for that. Right? I think those two would be a big plus, and I'd knock 5 minutes off of halftime. Halftime's 20 minutes. Bowl game, it's 22. Halftime is 12, is 15, is 20 minutes. You got to knock it back to 15. Okay, so now let me address the blue band issue. There is no issue with the blue band. The blue band will be able to get out on the field, do their normal performance, because it's the dead time when the blue band is done. Think about how much dead time there is.
I mean, I'll come back in the booth at about, I don't know, 4 minutes to go before halftime. The blue band's done, right? Because I get one break at halftime. I usually get back in the booth, I don't know, 3-4 minutes, and nobody's on the field. And then they'll come out and they'll throw the ball a little bit. You got to get rid of that, okay? You got to get back to work. 5 minutes is 5 minutes. Take that 5 minutes, okay? I will say this. The stoppages on first down, really, they've been doing a good job of weeding that out naturally anyway. If you notice, they really aren't. They'll sort of stop the clock, but then they'll get going again, right? But on incomplete passes, okay, the only exception I would make would be clocking the ball. And clocking the ball is obvious. And nobody clocks the ball with 10 minutes to go in the third quarter. The only time you clock the ball is late in the half or late in the game to stop the clock. You don't clock the ball with 8 minutes to go. Oh, I'm going to clock it here, right? Even though in midget football, the Sioux teaches that to his kids because he's trying to be clever, and then you tell him, well, actually, it's second down now. What? What's he teaching the youth of America? I'm confused.
It's a good question.
But again, incomplete pass, boom, clock stops. New ball comes into play, is put down in the field, ready for play, clock starts. Not on the snap, but when the ball's put down.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You know, we had Alex Kozora on the show, and Matt got sliced and diced. It was really, really entertaining. All right, so...
per usual.
He's going home now telling Lisa. He said, they're so mean to me on the show.
Well, Lisa knew that already. Because Alex and I were roommates our senior year, too, so she knew that.
All right. Got a slice of news here. Very important. The Pirates will go through the month of April tied for first place.
Oh, my almighty!
Because I think the players are going to turn down Major League Baseball's last best offer. Just by not playing. So you have to have the ability, Matt, to find the positives in everything.
Bingo!
I mean, for the Orioles and the Pirates, for their fans, and let me... I watched Baylor in Texas last night. And when the game was over, and this is after I watched some of Syracuse, North Carolina. When the game was over, I rarely, if ever, watch SportsCenter. But Scott Van Pelt was going to be on Sports. And Scott Van Pelt, by the way, does a great job. I'm just not up late enough to watch it anymore. And he said, we'll come on. And he said, at the end of the A block, we're going to have Jeff Passan on. You know, and Jeff, you know, for the most part, does a good job of covering baseball. He does more of it from the player's point of view. But then again, his connections are with the agents and not with the owners. So he's going to have more of a slant in that direction. I'm just explaining why. Okay? It's, you know, it's about your connections and who you're connected with. And he said he'll be on to explain where they are. So, at this point, Jeff's painting a mixed bag of some optimism and some will wait and see. And it was very realistic, the answers he gave. And Scott Van Pelt then said, And it was. And I've never met him. I've never met Scott Van Pelt. But he comes off as the genuine article, because when he's doing these sports centers, you just feel like he's just doing it. He's not, you know, confined to a script. How about that? And he says to him, he says, look, Jeff, I don't know whether it's me or whether it's because I'm an Orioles fan and they've had four straight years where they've lost 100 games. You know, I think that's the term he uses. He says, but I find myself like, he says, or maybe it's March Madness because it's on the horizon. He says, I'm not finding myself like not really yet this hour caring about it. And that's the difference between 1972, 1981, and now. In 1972, when they went on strike, people were genuinely mad. Now, the attendance in 72 isn't the same as it is today. It's not. The attendance today is better. So let's be, no, let's not go, hey, let's go back to the good old days, 50 years ago, 1972. Oh, every ballpark was sold out. That's not true. Okay? But there was a depth of caring for the sport. You know, whether they went to the ballpark, whether they listened to a game on the radio, watched it on TV, read it in the paper or papers, there would be multiple papers in big markets. There was a depth of caring for it. And when it didn't start in 72, people were mad because they cared. Now, they may have been mad at the owners, they may have been mad at the players, but they were mad. In 1981, fans were mad in the middle of the season. There's no baseball. Mad. And they did damage with the 81 strike because it went for weeks. And that was a strike, not a lockout. So baseball had to start repairing itself. You know, and you've gone through some of the drug problems, you know. The sport was having some problems. In 1994, when they stopped the season, and then didn't begin 95 on time, no World Series, and they didn't begin on time. The damage that they did cut deep. Here's the reason why. They created a segment of apathy. It went from people being mad in 72, downright angry in 81, to it's what they always do. And they lost that segment of fans. Oh, there are always people who say, I'm never going back. And they go back, but they don't go back to as many games. They don't watch as many games. And what's happening with this is you got a lot of people out there like going, eh. Now, I'd like to point out that minor league baseball starts on time. Minor league baseball will start on time. So the Harrisburg Senators, the Reading Phillies, the Altoona Curve, the Iron Pigs, Erie, they're all going to start on time. I think April 9th is the opening day for most of those teams. I think April 9th is. So they're starting. They're playing. The Williamsport Crosscutters will start June 2nd. They'll play the Spikes. Then the Spikes will have their home opener on June 3rd. MLB Draft League, not affected in the least. So there's going to be baseball for us to go to if we want to go, and it's going to be at really nice, reasonable prices. But when you go from passion, and anger is passion, to apathy, you now have a problem with your product. when they're apathetic about your product. And I thought Scott Van Pelt, he made a point that a lot of people have made. Why do I find myself sitting here going, whatever. And what makes the two sides look even worse is look what's happening on the world stage. Now that's serious. This isn't serious. Right? Matt? I mean, you think about what's happening on the world stage. That's serious.
No doubt.
This is not. This is business. It's business. I got it. But it's not serious. We're upset. No. You're upset? I recommend to both the owners and the players they look at Zelensky's speech to the EU today. Now that's serious. You have to have a sense of who you are and where you fit in everything. Major League Baseball, Major League Players Association rejects MLB's final proposal. No CBA deal at deadline. Here's the problem. You got a whole segment of the country is looking at you going, okay. Oh, darn. It's gone from in 1972 and 1981. Darn it! Tonight going, okay. That's what you want for your sport? We're at a time frame in sports where it is so awesome to have the fans back. Boy, does it feel good. You know, I'm sitting at Wisconsin and I'm looking at 85,000 people. I'm like, this is great. And then I come back the next weekend to Penn State and I see 107,000 people. Oh, man, did that feel good, Matt. This felt so good. Then I'm watching the upsets as they rolled through one after another on Saturday. And I'm watching, and what capped it off was St. Mary's winning over Gonzaga. And to watch the St. Mary's students just pour onto the floor in emotion. Maskless. No, I'm just kidding. Pour onto the floor. Okay? It was the passion, the excitement, the fun of it. And then you've got these people quibbling over pre-arbitration bonus pools and luxury taxes and balance taxes. And you're sitting like, what the heck? And you're watching tanks pour over a border into a smaller country. Now, it's a smaller country about the size of Texas, to be honest with you. It's, to give you an idea of how big, Ukraine's pretty big. It's got 41 million people, and it's about the size of Texas, I believe. But you watch something like that happen, and against that backdrop, this is your headline? Major League Baseball Players Association rejects MLB's final proposal, no CBA deadline. And everybody's like going, okay. Guess what? Wisconsin's playing Purdue tonight. It should be a pretty good game. Okay. I think I'll watch that. When does Penn State football spring practice start? I think I'll get interested in that. Because guess what? On April 23rd, they're going to play a spring game. It's going to be a scrimmage. It's going to have little quirks to it that are a little different because it is a scrimmage. But if it's a nice day, they can have 70,000 people there. Why? Because it's fun. That's why. And they're playing. And they're not going to go on strike. Now, I know this is a lockout, but do you realize in the backdrop of current events how foolish you look right now? You talk about bad timing for people. mean, that's where Major League Baseball is right now. And I love baseball. You know, lifelong Red Sox fan, you know. I'm trying to work it out so I can go cover the U.S. Open, where I can do a show from the U.S. Open, like we did from Lancaster for the Women's Open. We did it from Oakmont for the Men's Open. We did it at Marion. So I was thinking, hey, man, you know, let's try and do a show during one of the practice rounds up at Brookline. I think it would be fun to do. Hear some of the players and the whole thing. And then, you know, my son and I might take in a Red Sox-Tigers game that night. All right? It's a chance for me to get up there and do that. I was thinking about doing that. Because it's fun. But this is... You know. In the backdrop of world events, do you know how petty and small you look right now? And in comparison to... Now, I know football got by a slim margin. The average vote to approve the CBA for the NFL, the average per team was 32 to 30. That's how close it was. They came that close to not having labor peace, and they came that close in turn to not having their new TV contract. Again, backdrop of world events. Right now, you look petty and small. And next to the NBA and the NFL and college football and college basketball, you look petty and small. Even next to the NHL, you look petty and small. The NHL, Gary Bettman, for all of his faults, and he's had three lockouts where he was the leader of the charge on three lockouts. In the last 18 months, outside of the Blackhawks situation, which we're looking at from 30,000 feet and the league office is looking at from 10 to 15,000 feet, they aren't directly involved, but there have been some wishy-washy answers on the Blackhawks situation with the Wirtz family. That aside, almost every move Gary Bettman has made in the last 18 months has been pro player and pro fan. Okay? You know, at some point you do get it. It's got to be both. It's got to be pro fan and pro player. Right? And now Major League Baseball. You don't understand. You're slipping. You need to figure out on both sides how to make this thing fun, exciting, and entertaining for everybody again. It just can't be about the dollars always. It can't be. Because guess what? If you're telling the world, hey, we had to learn so many lessons during the pandemic. You know, so many lessons we had to learn during the pandemic. And the pandemic taught us a lot of things. Okay? A big item like, where are our prescription drugs made? That's a big item. Okay, where are they made? Well, maybe in the future we ought to think about making them more here. That way we give ourselves a cushion. Right? That's one. Well, at the same time, the lesson in sports has been each league told us over and over again what percentage of their money came from the gate. And all of them said 40%. 40%. If you're getting 40% of your money at the gate, isn't it imperative upon yourself to A, have a gate? And number two, to make sure that gate is entertained and wants to come back. Right now, Major League Baseball is doing neither. See, that's what, when you look at this show, between the suit and Matt, people do want to come back. They don't know what's going to happen next. Like I always say, analytics is like a tool in the toolbox. Right? You have to use it in different ways. Okay? If I need a Phillips head screwdriver, I use that. If I need a wrench, I'll use that one. That's what analytics is, a valuable tool. And sometimes you absolutely need it. There's another tool in the toolbox, and that's a hammer. They're going to use it over my head if I don't go to a break on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
No good! No good! No good!
That was the incident that happened at the end of the suit's staff meeting this morning, where he put together a series of initiatives. Gotta give me credit. I'm quick.
Yes.
Made up. I hate the show. But, do you go home and whine, moan, and complain that you feel like you were picked on the show?
Never.
They were nice to me, Lisa. Shut up. I'm sick of hearing you whine. Oh, God.
She's actually egged on Alex a couple of times. That's why Alex likes her.
Oh, no. Next time I see her, she's going to give me, like, all sorts of material to use. I hear about this one. Okay. My goodness. Well, the point I made about analytics earlier, again, analytics is a critical tool in the toolbox, right? But when you're going in to do a job, don't you then use the specific tool you need at that moment? If I need a Phillips head screwdriver, I use that. If I need an Allen wrench, I use that. If I need a wrench, I use that. Analytics is a valuable tool in the toolbox, but it's not the only one. And that's what I've tried to say about it for a long time. You know, there's certain things that come up at certain moments. I'm going to talk more with Neil Coulong about that tomorrow. I think you'll find that fascinating. We'll have Neil on the show tomorrow. I'll have Reginald Walker on the show tomorrow. And you know what? For our 4:35 audience tomorrow, I think I might play back the Alex Cazora part, because I think they need to hear about YM, Young Matt.